The Scottish Collaboration is taking place from Monday the 5th to Sunday the 11th of December. So why not join us and you might just find your next big obsession. Full details can be found at scottishmurders.com/collab.
Hi everyone! Before we dive into this week's episode, please check out our promo of the week.
It's estimated that at any given time, there are up to 90,000 missing persons, and that's just in the United States. Imagine if your loved one went missing. Is there anything that you wouldn't do to try and find them? This is Missing Persons, and I'm your co-host, Mike Morford. In every episode of Missing Persons, you'll hear about a person who disappeared and currently remains missing, as well as the efforts to find them. In some cases, there are clues to follow and leads to check on. In other cases, it's as if the person just vanished off the face of the earth. In each episode, you'll hear from someone that's desperately searching for that missing person. And whether they've been looking for 30 days or 30 years, the struggle to find answers is real. Will you join us and become part of the search for answers in these cases? If so, search for and subscribe to Missing Persons wherever you listen to podcasts. There are dozens of episodes available to binge on right now, and new episodes come out every other Saturday.
To Crime Divers. I'm Laura.
And I'm Jill.
And here we are for another episode.
Here we are. Thanks for coming back. Or yes, if you're a new listener, welcome.
Yes. Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
So, as we always do, where in the world are we, Jill?
In the USA.
In the USA.
Yeah.
Okay. And the title of today's episode?
The Doctor's Wife. Okay. So that gives nothing away.
Nope. I guess it's about a doctor's wife.
Shall we say that?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But anyway, let's dive in and find out.
Okay, so Marilyn Rees was born on the 14th of April, 1923, in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, it's an oldie.
Yeah. She met her future husband at school. His name was Samuel Holmes Shepherd, known as Sam. Okay. So Sam was born on the 29th of December, 1923, also in Cleveland. At school, they were childhood sweethearts at Cleveland Heights High School, where Sam was president of his senior class and quarterback of the football team. They got married on the 21st of February, 1945. So they must have got married like straight out of school, because they must have been about 17 at that point.
Yeah. So. You do find that back in those days that a lot of young marriages, wasn't there? Like, you get married when you're quite young.
God.
Which is why, like, when you take it up to like the present day, you have a lot of couples that are celebrating like 70 years of marriage and all that, whereas now, you know, a lot of people either get married really late on, or, you know, it's not quite as long.
Yeah, I don't 17. Think,
yeah, that's quite, I couldn't imagine getting married at
17. That's off to anybody who did, but I was still a child at 17.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about marriage at that point.
Definitely not. So Marilyn taught Bible class on a Sunday, and when their son was born in 1947, she was a stay-at-home mum, and she was very much involved with like, community events. So Sam, he was the youngest of three brothers. His dad and older brothers were doctors, and Sam followed in their footsteps. At school, he was good at American football, basketball, and track, and he was offered a few athletic scholarships, but he turned them down to pursue a career in osteopathic. Is that how you say it? Osteopathic?
Sounds right.
Medicine. So he enrolled at Hanover College in Indiana and studied pre-osteopathic medical courses. He also took supplementary courses at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, and he then finished his medical education at the Los Angeles Osteopathic School of Physicians and Surgeons, and was awarded the Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine medical degree.
Wow.
Oh, that was a lot.
I know, well done.
So I'm assuming that wherever he was, Marilyn was with him.
Uh-huh.
And as they because they got married in Hollywood, California, so she must have just went wherever he was studying, she was with him.
Uh-huh.
So Sam completed his internship and a residency in neurosurgery.
Oh, it was all going so well, wasn't it? So downhill.
I'll start a sentence again.
Good idea.
Sam completed his internship and a residency in neurosurgery at Los Angeles County General Hospital.
So is that to do with the brain? Neurosurgeon, yeah, that's brain. Brain surge.
Is it?
Brain surge? Brain surgery. I think so.
Are you sure? Are you going to say Julie Stewart?
Neurosurgeon.
Neuro, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's to do with the brain.
Go and Google it. Well, I don't want to sound stupid.
I need your... Oh, no.
Why can you not go on your phone?
That's fine.
Because if we're wrong, then I can just cut it.
What is he called? A neurosurgeon?
Neurosurgeon, yeah.
Yeah, brain. I was right. See, don't doubt me.
See, we knew that.
I know
we knew.
Exactly.
We were just checking.
Yeah, of course. I knew that.
So later they returned to Ohio and Sam joined his dad and brothers working at his dad's medical practice at Bayview Hospital. So they settled in a wealthy suburb.
I'm not doing well, am I? What's new?
They settled in a wealthy suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, right next to Lake Erie, with their son, who was also called Sam, but they called him Chip.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It must be a nickname.
Well, do you not call your daughter Chops or something?
Oh, Chops. Yeah,
so
Chops.
So there you go.
Well, I don't really call her that. That's our other auntie. I don't know where that came from, to be honest. But yeah, she gets called Chops or Choppers.
Yeah, I just call her by her name.
Yeah, I know.
Well, actually, not always by her name.
Yeah, some other names.
Some other names that I'm not going to say on the podcast. Yeah,
she's a bit of a pain in the butt, shall we say.
So the family were well-liked, involved with the community staff, and like Sam's patients would call him Dr. Sam, as there was already enough Dr. Shepherds, because he had like his dad and his brothers, they were all Dr. Shepherds. So he was Dr. Sam.
Oh,
right,
okay.
So, you know, as I said, they were just well-known in the community, well-liked. And on the 4th of July, 1954, Marilyn and Sam were going to be throwing a 4th of July party. So they did this every year. Keep hitting wires.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I know, there's wires all over the place here. It's because I'm so unorganised and there's not even a space on my desk. There's microphones, headphones, slippers, just everyone's lying everywhere.
I know, we're such professional podcasters.
I know. Anyway, right, sorry. Yeah, so they did this every year and they'd invited all their friends and neighbours. You know, it was a big deal, you know, Shepherd's party every year, it was a big deal. Okay. Well, the 4th of July is a big deal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, in America, yeah. Independence Day, isn't it?
Yeah, so, so it was obviously a big thing. And so by now their son, Chip, was 7 and Marilyn was 4 months pregnant with her second son. So on the day before, that was the 3rd of July, Marilyn and Chip started getting everyone organised for the party and Sam went into work. That night they were having the neighbours Don and Nancy Ahern and their two kids over for dinner. So they had a nice dinner, they watched the sunset over Lake Erie. Don took his children home and put them to bed and then came back over.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, right, we're in the 50s, obviously a different time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's obviously fine to do that, I guess, back then.
Yeah, there's no point in us going around, oh, we wouldn't do that, because, you know.
Yeah, different times.
Yeah. So he took the children, put to bed, he came back over. So Marilyn put Chip to bed, and the two couples sat down to watch a movie called Strange Holiday on one of the two available TV channels.
Oh, God.
Imagine having two TV channels. That's,
I don't know. Well, I suppose because that was in its infancy then, TV, wasn't it? Because it was in the 50s that the TV was...
Was it?
Was it? Or was that when colour TV came around? Something happened in the 50s. I can't remember if it was actual TV or if it was colour TV.
You're sure a lot of things happened in the 50s.
Anyway, it was definitely in its infancy because obviously two channels is not a lot.
Exactly. But it couldn't have been that infant though. Because if it was in its infancy, then it would only be one channel. So two.
Oh, so it's toddler stage
when was
then.
Television invented? Oh, Alexa's not plugged in.
Am I going to have to Google again? I mean, seriously. Jesus. We're so great at this.
When... I know who invented the TV. That was John Logie Baird.
When was the TV invented? Oh, 1927.
I'm not kidding. 1927.
All right, when was the first colour TV? Oh.
When was the
first? 1953. See, I knew something happened in the 50s. Well, so I'm not
and was I right? It was saying it was John Logie Baird that invented the TV.
Oh, I don't know. I overlooked that.
I think it was. What? What are you laughing at?
Well,
say who invented the TV?
Because it says, oh, it says electronic. Oh, I've got to go that properly. Who invented the TV?
My God, our listeners are going to be switching off now.
Invented?
Please don't leave us.
Yeah, no, because the story is hopefully going to be quite good.
Well, it's interesting.
Well, what he was one of.
Okay.
But there was a few.
Okay.
But John Logie Baird was one of them.
Thank you. Right.
Anyway, can we...
Let's get on with the case.
Yes.
Oh, it's not wires again.
Jesus. Right, come on.
So Marilyn sat on Sam's knee and they had a cuddle while they were watching the film. Her granddad used to do that.
Did they?
Yeah, I used to walk in into the house and like she'd be sitting on his knee giving him a cuddle. It was so cute.
I never saw that.
No, you never saw that, but I did and it was cute.
Oh, okay.
So, but he was tired and he actually moved over to a day bed. They had a day bed in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And he laid down and fell asleep.
That's nice.
That's obviously, that's really sociable. That's what he did.
Okay.
So Marilyn and the Aherns watched the rest of the movie and then the Aherns left just after midnight. So Marilyn obviously decided to leave Sam asleep on the daybed and she headed to bed herself.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam woke up at 4:30 a.m. to the sound of Marilyn screaming. So his version of events is that he ran upstairs but he was attacked by a man
mm-hmm.
and knocked out. When he came to, he went straight to Marilyn who was on the bed covered in blood and he checked her pulse and he said that he felt that she was gone. So he ran into Chip's room to make sure he was okay, and he was. He was sound asleep, hadn't heard a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sam then heard a noise downstairs, so he ran towards the noise, and he saw someone who he described as having bushy hair
mm-hmm.
running out the front door and heading towards the lake. So obviously he chased this person. So he caught up with them, and there was a struggle, and Sam lost his T-shirt and his watch. Sam said he then felt like he was being choked and he lost consciousness. When he came to, he was groggy and he was lying at the edge of the water. So he ran back up to the house and called the mayor.
Okay.
So it was 5:40 a.m. by now and the mayor, Spencer Houck, was woken by the phone ringing. He said it was his friend Sam Shepherd and Sam said, quote, "My God, Spence, get over here quick. I think they've killed Marilyn." End quote. Which was a bit funny because they said, "I think they
uh-huh.
killed Marilyn," but he said there was only one
uh-huh.
person.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then when he gave his account later, he said that he only saw one man. So,
yeah. But I mean, I suppose at the moment it could have been worse.
He's been knocked out twice.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you can understand maybe an incorrect word being used. I mean, it's not like.
Yeah, but obviously people are going to pick up on that, aren't they?
Of course.
But, as I said, like he'd been knocked unconscious twice in a short space of time. So it's likely, you know, he was confused.
Yeah, a bit of concussion or something.
So Spencer and his wife quickly got dressed and drove over to the Shepherd's house where they found Sam bare-chested sitting in a chair in the den and he was holding his neck so because he'd got hurt in the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So they called the police and the police officer, Fred Drinken, was the first on scene. He found Marilyn lying on her back on her bed and her face was turned towards the door. Her pyjama top was pulled up above her breasts and her pyjama bottoms had been removed from one leg, exposing her pubic region. So her bed had a wooden bar at the bottom, so there would be like a space between the mattress and
mm-hmm.
the bed frame.
Right.
So her legs were pulled underneath the bar.
Right, okay.
Her face was unrecognisable as there were lots of curved gashes cut into her face and scalp. There was blood all over the covers and the pillow and there was blood sprayed onto the walls and the wardrobe doors.
Wow.
So Fred, the police officer.
Stop it. Well, I mean, honestly, I would actually be more shocked if we ever got through an episode without you making any kind of fuck up.
Well, his name's Fred Drinken, so Frank.
I don't know. Where did you get Frank from that?
I thought that was going to be helpful.
No, not at all.
Right, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
So he looked around the rest of the house and it looked like there had been an intruder.
Uh-huh.
Sam's medical bag had its contents spilled out on the floor in the hallway. There were trophies in the den that were found on the floor broken and scratched. The drawers of Sam's desk were open but nothing appeared to be missing. So other people started arriving now. Detectives, the coroner, and Sam's brothers. So Marilyn was pronounced pronounced dead mm-hmm. and taken away. So the detectives looked around and there was no sign of forced entry. But there could be a reason for that because Sam did say that they tended not to lock their doors. Like if they were in the house, like they would lock their doors when they left the house, but if they were in the house, they didn't
lock
them.
That was the damn thing in those days, wasn't it? You didn't really lock your doors, not like now where I couldn't imagine not having my door locked.
I lock my door when I'm in.
Sometimes I do too.
I do it all the time. So it is possible. I mean, he doesn't know because obviously he fell asleep on the daybed,
mm-hmm.
so he didn't lock the door.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn, it's possible that she didn't lock the door before mm-hmm. she went to bed.
Yeah.
So what I found was strange, though, was that a neighbour of the Shepherds, Otto Graham, who was the best NFL quarterback of his time and played for the Cleveland Browns, decided to pop in and see what was going on. So the crime scene hadn't been secured, but yet police just let him in and he went up to the bedroom for a look. Like, Marilyn was away by this point.
Right.
But yet he still lets, like, a neighbour just walk in.
And contaminate the crime. I mean, again, I know forensics and that wasn't as what it is to this day.
I know, but still. But I've heard other cases like that as well. Like, mm-hmm. it's just strange.
Yeah, I mean, that would never happen in this day and age.
No, and he said, he did an interview with the Saturday Evening Post and said, quote, "Oh my God, it looks like someone stood in the middle of the room with a great big can of red paint and a brush and it flicked all around. This wasn't a couple of blows. Oh no, whoever did it, they had to be out of their mind."
Well.
End quote. So the detectives were straight away suspicious of Sam
mm-hmm.
because the house just looked like it had been staged to look like a robbery,
mm-hmm.
but nothing was missing. So, and also, now this is a thing. A thing?
Okay.
The Shepherds had a dog, but yet the dog didn't bark when the intruder entered. And even though Marilyn was apparently screaming, Chip and the dog didn't wake up.
How do they know the dog didn't wake up?
Because Sam said.
Oh, did he say that?
He must have said that the dog didn't bark and the neighbours were never heard. I don't know why the neighbours would think they would hear anything, but the fact that Sam's T-shirt was missing and that he had called his friend the mayor before the police was strange to them as well.
Yeah, I did wonder how his T-shirt was. I mean,
well, he said his T-shirt was missing, so it could have got ripped off in the struggle.
That must have been a massive strength to rip the T-shirt off.
Well, I don't know. Don't know how clothes were made back then.
I suppose maybe they were. Yeah, true. That's very true.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought it was strange. If the dog didn't wake up and bark, then I found that very strange because dogs bark.
And it obviously is not sensed danger as in like an unfamiliar person in the house because obviously if it's...
And I mean, and if the dog did bark, I mean, like, why would he say that the dog, if he was lying about it, why would he say that the dog didn't bark?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it was...
That's what I was wondering, like, why did he even mention that?
Yeah, because if the dog was barking, because he could have said, oh, I woke up because the dog was barking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it seems a bit strange. If he was innocent,
mm-hmm.
well, whatever, whether he was innocent or guilty, it just seems strange that the dog didn't bark.
Yeah, and that he would make a point of saying that the dog didn't bark.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I just find that a bit strange.
Yes.
That's why I said it was a thing.
Well, thanks for that, things.
So Sam was questioned and he was asked why he phoned the mayor first. And he said that that was the first number that came into his head as they were good friends.
Okay.
He was also asked if Marilyn had ever been unfaithful and he said no. He was asked if he had ever been unfaithful and again he said no. They'd been happy, life was good, he had a good career, they had money, they had Chip, and another son on the way, mm-hmm. they loved each other very much.
I just realised that means an unborn baby would be dead as well.
Oh. So meanwhile, a search for the murder weapon was launched, and a green bag was found hidden in bushes near the lake, and in it was Sam's watch, because remember that was my son,
mm-hmm.
some pieces of Marilyn's jewellery and a set of keys. So, of course, the investigators are wondering why a burglar would leave behind the items that he had just stolen.
Well, yeah, that makes no sense.
So, at some point, Sam went to the hospital to get treatment, because remember, he did actually have to get a neck brace because of his neck.
Mm-hmm.
So, an officer picked up Sam's clothes, including his waterlogged shoes, belt, boxer shorts and trousers, and there was a large blood stain on the trousers on the left knee, suggesting that he had knelt in blood.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the officers at the hospital actually accused Sam and said, "I don't know about my partner, but I think you killed your wife." But Sam just kept saying, no, I loved Marilyn. You know, I didn't do it. I loved her. Mm-hmm. So the autopsy found 35 wounds on Marilyn's body, including 15 fractures to her skull.
Oh, God.
Her battered hands indicated a massive struggle against her attacker. The coroner concluded the murder was an act of rage and not a sexual attack.
Right.
So Dr. Gerber, he was the coroner, mm-hmm. and he was the chief investigating officer on the case. Mm-hmm. Said on the afternoon of the murder, quote, I find it impossible to believe the explanation as told by her husband, Dr. Samuel H. Shepherd. I further find that the injuries that caused this death were inflicted by her husband, Dr. Samuel H. Shepherd, and the death in this case was homicidal in nature, end quote. So obviously, the following day, the murder was on the front page of the newspapers, and at first they were sympathetic towards Sam. The Cleveland Press had a picture of Marilyn and the headline was Doctor's Wife Murdered in Bay Village. And underneath there was a picture of Sam in his hospital bed mm-hmm. with an orthopaedic brace around his neck.
Right.
And the article suggested that drug thieves were suspected in the murder. Mm-hmm. But as the days went by, the newspapers started turning hostile towards Sam. Mm-hmm. Facts and rumours emerged and they were mixing, as they do.
As they do.
And the editor of the Cleveland Press, Lewis Seltzer, accused the Shepherd family of trying to thwart the murder investigation. So it must have been the dad and the brothers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he quoted the assistant prosecutor, John Mahon, saying, quote, in my 23 years of criminal prosecution, I have never seen such a flagrant stalling as in this case by the family of Dr. Samuel Shepherd, end quote. So they were stalling, but I'm not quite sure how. Mm-hmm. So the day after that, he reported that, quote, Dr. Samuel Shepherd declined to submit to a lie detective test for questioning about the slaying of his attractive wife, end quote.
I thought, slaying?
Well, that's quite funny, because that's not what came to my mind. It was the attractive, but...
Oh, yeah.
I thought, what difference does it make whether she's attractive or not,
Yeah,
you know?
Say that, yeah.
The slaying, why not just the slaying? That's a bit... Mm. But, yeah, the slaying of his wife. But yeah,
his attractive
wife. I mean, as if that makes any.
Maybe that's more of a
headline.
Yeah.
The article said, quote, the principal problem is the fact that for whatever reasons, the investigative authorities were slow in getting started, fumbling when they did, awkward in breaking through the protective barriers of the family, and far less aggressive than they should be in following out clues, facts, and evidence. End quote. On the 21st of July, the press made a cry for coroner Samuel Gerber to publicly question Sam with a front page editorial headlined, quote, why no inquest? Do it now, Dr. Gerber, whatever his name is. So yeah, that was the headline, why no inquest? Do it now.
All right, okay.
So the editor, this editor, Lewis Seltzer, he was a powerful figure in Cleveland. He wasn't just the editor of a newspaper. He told politicians what to do and they did it.
See, it just shows you that the media have always had some power.
Mm.
Even back then.
Yeah. And because he printed on the front page of the newspaper, why no inquest? And sure enough, there was an inquest the following day.
Oh, there you go.
What? So the coroner had to use a massive gym hall for the inquest.
All right.
As there were that many newspapers, reporters, live television, radio crews.
Wow.
And so Dr. Gerber was sure that he had the killer, but couldn't figure out what the motive was. Mm-hmm. You got sweaty ears?
No, it's my earring. It keeps...
Oh, on the headphones.
On the headphones.
Yeah. I get sweaty ears with the headphones.
Yeah. like we all needed to know.
See,
that.
I don't have earrings in, because I'm sensible.
Mm. Anyway.
His mum, dad and neighbours were called to the stand. Sam's mum, dad mm-hmm. and neighbours were called to the stand. And when finally Sam was called, he was questioned for 5 hours.
Wow.
So during the questioning, Sam was asked if he had an extramarital affair with a former employee called Susan Hayes. And he denied it. He said they were nothing more than good friends. But that was bullshit. Oh,
he was obviously having an affair.
Yeah, because a lot of people actually knew about it.
Oh, right.
Okay. So it was like, why?
Oops, sorry.
Let's see. Did you just kick a wire?
Yeah.
Everyone all plugged in?
Yeah, we're good. Sorry.
All right, move that button.
That was my fault.
Yeah, we're not the most graceful of people.
No, definitely not. We're a bit clumsy.
Just a bit. So I don't know why I denied it, because a lot of people knew about this affair.
Yeah.
So that damaged his credibility by lying about it, and people didn't believe a lot of other things that he had to say after that, because, well, if you lied about that, what else?
Well, yeah, what else can you lie about? Totally.
So having caught Sam out in a lie, the media hounded the Cleveland police to charge him with murder. So on the 30th of July 1954, they did.
Oh, well, just because the newspaper said so, they did.
So his trial date was set for the 18th of October. So the trial began, and the prosecution called coroner Sam Gerber. He brought in a replica of Marlon Shepherd's bashed skull, which was, like, really shocking to the court.
Oh, well.
And he claimed that a surgical instrument was the murder weapon.
Right.
Funny that, because, you know, doctor.
He's a doctor, yeah.
He said that there was a blood stain on Marlon's pillow, and in that blood stain, he could make out the impression of a surgical instrument. He also showed Sam's bloody watch and said the blood must have come from Marlon. Her blood type was O, and the blood on Sam's trousers appeared to be O, but that wasn't entirely conclusive.
Right, okay.
So Susan Hayes testified that, yes, she did have an affair with Sam Shepherd, and they had been together for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So also, while he was married, Sam had met up with a patient as well, and they had kissed. So, you know, it's not looking great for him.
No, not really.
I know it's not murder, but, you know, just the lying and the, oh, it's not all as it seemed kind of thing. So the mayor claimed that he heard Sam's brother ask Sam if he murdered Marlon. So I wonder if that was included just to indicate that maybe his family thought he was capable of murder. Because...
Well, why would they ask? Or...
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you were accused of murdering Justin, I wouldn't for a sec, I'd be like, no.
But I might have done it.
Well, you might have, but I don't think you're capable of that. And you know what I mean? I just wouldn't. If you said that you didn't do it, I would believe that you hadn't done it. But everybody's different, I don't know.
See, I'm not dumb enough.
I'm just looking at your eyes, like, maybe you would do it.
I'm not dumb enough to do it, because, like, of all these true crime cases, like, I think that you have to be, like, a complete, well, I'm saying that, I might be an expert, maybe, because I know what to not
do. You know how to hide it? How to cover up?
I don't.
Right, can we stop talking about murder? Like, well, murdering your husband, because your husband ever dies now.
I'm going to write the prime suspect.
You're going to write the prime suspect.
No, I promise I wouldn't do that.
So the first police officer to arrive at the murder scene, he told the jury that he sounded... Right, the first police officer who had arrived at the murder scene told the jury that he found Sam's story of a fight on the beach with a bushy-haired man implausible. He said that he found no signs of a struggle inside the home either. There had been no forced entry, and there had been no reports of that night of prowlers in the neighbourhood. Which I thought, really? Prowlers? Like, just because there had been no reports of prowlers?
Well, it doesn't mean there isn't one.
So, Detective Robert Schott pointed out the
My God, you're awful today.
Nobody's going to listen to this.
No, because of, like,
switched off by now.
She can't talk. She can't say even the simplest of words.
I know. But for anybody who's still with us, I'll carry on. Detective Robert Short pointed out inconsistencies in Sam's story. Sam had first told the police that he was first hit by the intruder going upstairs, but another version said the hallway, and another version said in the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
So he kept changing. But then, I just think in the heat of the moment, maybe you're not going to remember things correctly.
Yeah, I mean,
he was knocked unconscious after that as well.
So he says.
Are you thinking that he's guilty?
Well, I'm not really believed him right now. So, I mean, unless you're going
to... It's not looking good, is it?
Unless you're going to have some big twist at the end, that I feel like that's where we're heading.
Okay. But yeah, it's not looking good for him, is it?
No, not really, no.
So after 51 days, Prosecutor John Mann presented his closing argument, and he asked the jury to deliver a verdict of murder in the first degree with the penalty of death by electric chair. So it took the jury 4 days to deliberate, and the verdict was guilty of second degree murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison. And his son Chip later said that his dad was put in one of the roughest, toughest joints there was back in the 50s at Ohio State Penitentiary. I can say penitentiary. All the easy words that I can't say. Penitentiary, I can say it.
Well done, you. Well done.
You didn't let that go. I was like, round of applause. I couldn't just go past that and...
No. Well done.
So 3 weeks later, after Sam was found guilty, his mum killed herself, and a week later, his dad died of cancer.
Oh, bloody hell.
I know. And then in the following years, the Shepherds had to sell their hospital, and Marilyn's dad also killed himself.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know, it's awful, isn't it?
Totally.
So there were a few developments. Dr. Paul Kirk, who was a Californian criminalist, conducted a thorough investigation of the Shepherd home, and he published a report in 1955 that the murderer was left-handed, that they probably used a flashlight as the murder weapon, and most likely was someone who hated the Shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
He also reported that there was blood found in the bedroom, but it didn't come from Marilyn or Sam.
Mm.
So in July 1955, a neighbour of the Shepherds found a dented flashlight in shallow water in Lake Erie. And in November 1959, a window cleaner who had cleaned the Shepherd's windows at the time of the murder was picked up for theft.
Right.
A search was done of his house, and among other stolen items, a ring belonging to Marilyn was found.
Did he have bushy hair?
You can cut your hair, you know.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true.
The police officer decided to just... This police officer decided to just take a chance,
mm-hmm.
and asked the window cleaner, whose name was Richard Eberling, and he was like, why was your blood found in the Shepherd's bedroom? Like, he just took it, didn't, just because he found Marilyn's ring,
uh-huh.
just thought, you know what, I'm just going to take a chance here and see what he says.
Uh-huh.
And as I said, like, this wasn't the case, his blood hadn't been found, but the officer just took a stab in the dark. Richard surprised the officer though, because he went, oh, I cut myself while removing storm windows at the house a couple of days before Marilyn's murder, and he said that he'd dripped blood throughout the house because he'd went to obviously get like a plaster or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, what the hell? Like, they didn't know that his blood had been... And they just went, why was your blood then? He's like, oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Mm. So, there was a book written about Sam by Chicago Tribune reporter, Paul Holmes, and it detailed the findings that I've just told you about. And a young attorney who was just a year out of law school read the book and had been following the case as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this was F. Lee Bailey. So Sam's original lawyer died in... Did you say that now?
No.
Oh, that was weird. Something came down my head once.
Not me.
Yeah, so Sam's original lawyer died in 1961 and F. Lee Bailey took over.
Mm-hmm.
He said two things fired him up. Number one was that in the book, it was plain to see that Sam couldn't have killed his wife. And the other thing, just because finding somebody else's blood and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other thing was that after the Supreme Court denied Sam the right to have a polygraph test, remember, they said that Sam refused to take he was actually denied one.
Uh-huh.
F. Lee, well, I'm just going to call him Bailey, because I don't know what his first name is. It's F. Like F. Dot Lee.
Okay.
So I'm going to call him Bailey.
Okay.
So he got into an argument with a Cleveland officer about what the evidence showed, and the officer got pissed off with him,
mm-hmm.
having an argument, and eventually said, well, if Sam Shepherd is innocent, I don't want to know it.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
That winds me up. Well, I'm not being funny, but if you are a police officer, then surely your main aim is to...
Get the bad guy,
get justice for, you know... crimes that have happened,
mm-hmm.
and find the right people.
Yeah.
But or find the truth.
Yeah.
Isn't that their job? Isn't that what they sign up to? Isn't that the oath that they take?
Well, yeah, but like, I just find in a lot, it's not the first case we came across, but whereas the police just want to get
somebody
convicted, yeah, they want a conviction for it, and
they don't care,
actually. Who cares if it's the truth or not?
Which is...
It is, it really is. And a lot of them do get tunnel vision. They're like, right, this is the guy who done it, and I'm not going to listen to it. Yeah. You might have other evidence, but I'm not going to listen to it.
And then to the end, they're probably like, well, that case is done. Mm. Closed, be convicted someday.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested in reopening. Right. I've probably got a pile of this many cases on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested in one that I've already done and dealt with.
I know, it's really bad.
Which is terrible if there actually is, I don't know, a killer.
So... Bailey discovered that a crucial piece of evidence had been completely missed out at Sam's trial.
Mm-hmm.
There were actually tool marks on the basement door. Because remember, they said there was no sign of forced entry.
Well, I know you're funny, but isn't that then... That should have been included? Because that's a sign of forced entry. No?
Well, yeah, I would say so. There had been a plaster cast made of the marks and a report made, But yeah, no mention of it at trial.
So why go to the hassle of getting all that and then not use that as some kind of evidence, even for or against, you know?
I don't know.
And Bailey also found out that the judge claimed that Sam was guilty even before the trial was over. So this judge was like, he's guilty. That's it. You know, so I don't think he really cared what was going to be put before him. He was just...
Imagine if he'd actually got convicted of the first degree murder and the electric chair.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's happened before, hasn't it? Where innocent people have actually been put to death.
Yeah. So Bailey wrote a petition for a writ of habeas corpus.
Oh, see, you can say those words.
I know. Alleging 18 constitutional violations. So, of course, I had to look that up, which I'm sure you're wondering what.
Yeah.
So, according to Wikipedia, habeas corpus is a writ requiring a person under arrest to be brought before a judge or into a court, especially to secure the person's release, unless lawful grounds are shown for their detention. So, basically, what a retrial.
Yeah.
That's just a bit easier.
Yeah, okay.
So on the 13th of April 1963, he filed the case with the US District Court. The apparent bias of the original trial judge and his failure to remove himself from the case disturbed the federal judge, so a new judge was assigned, which, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So this new judge listed 5 constitutional violations and said that he could go on, but 5 was enough to grant Sam a new trial.
Right, okay.
So after serving 10 years in prison, he was released on a $10,000 bond while waiting for his second trial.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a new girlfriend, Ariane Tevin-Johns.
Oh, in the time that he got released, Jesus, he didn't hang around, did he?
No, they started writing to each other, so
right.
He started having a relationship while he was in.
Ah, right.
Pen pals.
Right, okay, gotcha.
She was German, I was actually just about to say, she was German and had started writing to him while he was inside. They got married as soon as they could.
Oh, okay.
So the second trial of Sam Shepherd began on the 24th of October. Oh, I thought that was today. It's not.
No, that's not today. 28th today, I think.
No, it's the 26th.
Oh, no, the 26th. I don't even know what day of the
week
it is.
Well, I only know because it's right in front of me on the computer.
Okay.
The second trial of Sam Shepherd began on the 24th of October, 1966. So the prosecutor, Leo Spellacy, abandoned the surgical instrument being the murder weapon theory. Because remember, that was the coroner. Said, yes, it definitely was.
It definitely was.
Well, this coroner, Sam Gerber, took the stand and he admitted that he had hunted all over the United States for a surgical instrument that matched the bloody imprint, but he couldn't find one. So he was just talking shit at the first trial.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, it's a doctor, so let's...
See, that's where it's hard, because like... Imagine if you're in a trial yourself, and I don't know whether I trust these people to actually like tell the truth or whatever, but they're just basically making a jury either convict you or not convict you, and you know, that's awful.
That's why I didn't know what to do jury duty.
No,
I got called up for jury duty twice in was it 2021? So it was last year, twice in about 6 months. I got called up twice, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing it because I'm so scared that. I wouldn't know because they're always convincing, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because that's their jobs. So they're convincing, and then I'm thinking, but what if
they're wrong?
What if we get it wrong as part of the jury? Not just me, obviously, because there's the rest of them as well. But what if we get it wrong and we convict somebody who's not guilty, or
let somebody go
who is guilty, and then they go on to do it to somebody else or something? I mean, it probably wasn't a murder; it was probably something boring. But
yeah, I know. You're probably not. I don't want to say lucky because it's totally not lucky, but like. I don't know, like, to get a case like that, a lot of these things are just...
My friend did. A few months ago, she got jury duty, and she went.
Mm-hmm.
But hers was... I said to her, how did it go? She's like, look up in the paper. This is the guy's name. I can't remember what it was. It was something to do with... something to do with driving, I think. I don't know. Or a stolen car, or I don't know. But they found him not guilty, anyway.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with anything. Anyway,
let's carry on.
Yeah,
get back to the.
I know, we keep going off on one, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So he was just talking shit at the first trial. As I said, like, I think he was just convinced that Sam had killed his wife, and he was like, oh, because they didn't know what the murder weapon was. He was like, oh, well, he's a doctor, so we'll just say it was a.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think when they're determined to find somebody guilty, they'll find something to fit the story or to fit the scenario of that.
But in this 10 years, he has not been able to find a surgical instrument
that matched
that imprint. So he should never have said that in the first place.
No.
But anyway, so Leo Spellacy decided not to dig into Sam's sex life this this time round. So Susan Hayes wasn't invited to the court. Mm. She was one the last time.
Right.
But he did read Sam's statement from the first time round when he denied having an affair with Susan, just to remind the jury that he lied and that he had been unfaithful.
Yeah.
So the prosecution suggested that Sam's motive for murder was an argument over Sam's affair. So obviously, you know, they're saying that Marilyn's found out they've had an argument.
Yeah. Hmm.
Medical technologist Mary Cowan, who worked at the coroner's office at the time of the murder, was called to the stand. She testified that a couple of blood spots on the rim of Sam's watch were blood splatter that could presumably only have been there if Sam was the murderer. So she's saying it was blood splatter, yep, it was Marilyn's blood, he was the murderer.
Right.
But Dr. Paul Kirk testified and he said that the blood found on Sam's watch looked like contact transfer rather than blood splatter.
Right, okay.
So he said, nah.
No, doesn't mean that he's killed her.
So Bailey presented the court with the findings of Paul Kirk. So he's the one who's the finder. He did the what's the word? Investigation of the house, and he wrote the book.
Ah, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but he didn't write the book, but his findings were in the book.
Ah.
So Bailey presented the court with his findings. So the court was told that his findings suggested a third party was in the house during the murder. So Bailey also told the court that the killer was left-handed and was actually quite weak. So it could have been a woman or a young boy because only one of the 35 blows to Marilyn was fatal.
Right, okay.
Now, Sam was right-handed and a strong man, so this didn't add up that he was the killer. Now, you know where I'm going to go here because I've already asked you about this before. Mm-hmm. Just the left-handed thing. Just because they used the left hand doesn't mean they were left-handed.
No, it doesn't, but I suppose...
I'm left-handed, you're left-handed. Yeah,
but maybe in a fit of rage, you would naturally use your hand without thinking, probably, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not saying...
But I would naturally use my right hand if I was going to... Because that's my stronger one. Like, yes, I'm left-handed.
Yeah, I suppose in terms of that, like, I write with my left hand.
Uh-huh.
But yet, whenever I went bowling, I played tennis, I always use my right hand.
Exactly, I'm exactly the same. So, how can you... that somebody's definitely left or right handed.
I guess they're obviously saying they've used their left hand because
used their left hand, yeah.
But I guess you're right, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's like they're not left handed. Like they could,
Because they're saying that Sam's right handed, but just because he's right handed doesn't mean to say, I mean, I don't know why he would use his left hand, but.
Yeah. But then you know, unless they're saying that that's just strong, well, because you're saying,
saying that it was a weak person, but surely if it was Sam, a right handed man. If they're going to use their other hand, it wouldn't be as strong, would it?
Yeah, because you would be weaker, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I like how we're waving our hands about.
I know. But yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
I get what you mean. So yeah, how could they conclusively say
that,
yes, it might have been a left hand used,
yeah,
but how do they know that that's their dominant hand? Yeah.
And as I said, if it was a right-handed person, they would be weaker if they were using their left hand.
Oh, exactly, so, yeah. Yeah,
that's just my opinion.
I get what you mean. But then I just think, like, naturally in the heat of the moment, maybe...
I think you would use your dominant hand, wouldn't you? I mean, like,
I suppose so.
But then again, are there right-handed people who use their left hand though? Because as you said, we're left-handed and we use our right hand for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Does it work the other way around?
I don't know.
No, I don't know that either. No. If anybody is right-handed and uses their left hand for a lot of stuff, I'd love to know.
Yeah, I know, totally.
So, because we're all left-handed.
Exactly.
So, I wouldn't know. So F. Lee Bailey, it was also presented to the court that there was blood in the bedroom that didn't belong to either Sam or Marilyn.
Yeah.
Bailey wanted to present the jury with another possible killer. And so he did consider using the window cleaner, Richard Eberling, but decided not to because Richard had done a lie detective test in 1959 and it cleared him of the crime.
Right,
okay. So he suggested that... Have you got any ideas?
No, I'm like... Suggest? I have no idea here.
Right. So he suggested that Esther Houck... could be
the
killer.
neighbours.
If you don't remember, Esther was the mayor's wife.
Right. Oh, okay.
Because remember he phoned the mayor first? Right. And the two of them had been the first ones over at the house after Sam had called them. There was evidence that Marilyn and Mayor Spencer were close, although it's not known how close.
Right, okay.
There's no evidence. But maybe Esther either knew or thought that they were having an affair and she killed Marilyn out of anger.
Right.
So F. Lee Bailey called a bread delivery man to the stand and he testified that he had seen Marilyn drinking coffee in her kitchen with a distinguished older man. Now remember, like, that's not going to mean anything in our day and age, is it? Like,
no.
If I was sitting having a
coffee with somebody. That's somebody walking past probably wouldn't think anything of it, but no, you know, yeah, back in the day. But Bailey, he wasn't allowed to show that the delivery man had been. He wasn't allowed to say, must have been, that the delivery man had been shown a load of photos and he identified the man as Spencer Houck. Not quite sure what I meant there.
Okay.
We'll just ignore that.
Yeah, okay. Carry on.
So, in support of his Esther theory, Bailey got Esther to admit that she had lit a coal fire on the day of the murder. Mm-hmm. Then he showed a jury weather reports and the lowest temperature that day was 69 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 20 degrees Celsius.
So you wouldn't be
so way too warm for a fire. Yeah, yeah. That's summer in Scotland. Yeah, that's summer, 20 degrees. So he hoped that the jurors would think that Esther started the fire to burn bloody clothes and other evidence of her crime.
Yeah.
So in his closing argument, Bailey told the jurors that, quote, someone was angry, angry enough to kill. Someone who didn't have the strength in her arm that Sam Shepherd had, for indeed he would have crushed that skull like an eggshell.
Oh.
End quote.
See, I didn't think it was going to be her, because I was thinking maybe like the neighbours they'd been watching the film with.
Well, it depends if you have motive or not, doesn't it? Oh, like, they might probably don't have motive. So on the 16th of November 1966, after 12 hours of deliberation, Sam was found not guilty. So who did kill Marlon Shepherd?
I know.
Nobody knows.
Oh, so we don't actually know whether it was her or not. Oh,
right. Emily Bailey still thinks that Marlon was having an affair with the mayor,
right,
Spencer Houck, and he said, quote, evidence that was developed but not used in the first trial that Spencer Houck had been having an affair with Marlon Shepherd. We know that Marlon was having sex about the time that she was killed, and we now know that she took an ounce of sperm in her vagina, something the authorities suppressed in my view, end quote. He then said that two different witnesses had seen Spencer in the house when Sam wasn't there, and on one occasion he was touching her bare breasts and she was wearing a nightgown.
So are they basically saying that while Sam was passed out on the daybed, the mayor had come round?
Well, I was just about to get to that.
Okay.
So he thinks that Esther woke up and found Spencer wasn't in the house. She obviously already had suspicions or whatever about having an affair with Marlon, so she... Because why else would she go over if this was the case? So she went over, caught them in bed together, lost her shit, and killed Marlon. Now, Sam said that he saw a figure in the room when he was knocked out. So is that possible? Is it possible that another person was in that room? Because if the murderer was holding the murder weapon, surely they would use that to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he was punched hard enough. Sorry.
And I was going to say, because it's funny when he then phoned the mayor and said they. So maybe, like, not realising he had seen more than one person.
That, I never thought of that.
And that's why he had said they.
But yeah, so if the murderer was still holding the murder weapon, surely they would have used the murder weapon to hit him, but he was punched hard enough to knock him out. So if the murderer was Esther, would she have been able to punch him that hard? And was Spencer also in the room and he was the one to knock Sam out?
And some agents were also saying that they were there, they'd done the murder, they'd went back home, Sam's then phoned the mayor, and they've come back.
Well, we don't know. So immediately after the murder, Spencer had what seemed to be a nervous breakdown, and the chief of police at Bay Village had told several people that they knew who the murderer was, and they expected to have a confession within 48 hours, and it wasn't Sam.
But yet, that either didn't happen or it did, but yet they still let Sam take the rap for it.
Okay. Bailey said that he thinks that other people thought Spencer was involved because in such a small community, you can't have sexual contact with someone's wife without it getting around.
Not back in those days, no.
So Spencer and Esther later divorced. So, that could have been a factor, isn't it? Like, because they were guilt. They're both now dead, so we may never know if they were involved.
Yeah,
and there was also another theory. So the window cleaner, 24-year-old Richard Eberlein, we do know that he was at the Shepherd's house on the 24th of June, as Marlon wrote him a cheque for the work that he'd done. He didn't actually cash that cheque until after the murder, which I don't know if it has any significance.
Well, if it's only been a few days before that he was there, then he maybe just didn't have time, or maybe he had a set day that he went to the bank, you know.
Mean, like, what, over the week? Because the 24th of June, and she was killed on the 3rd of July, so that's only like 6 or 9 days.
Yeah, so maybe he did it all at once.
I mean, it's maybe not got any significance.
Well, the fact that he was quite open about what he cut his finger in that without really thinking about it. Maybe, well, that was just genuine.
Maybe. So he was never interrogated at the time, and when they did interrogate him, he gave a false alibi. But yet they refused to interview him again.
All right.
But as we know, he was later charged with theft and police found one of Marilyn's rings in his house.
But that could be why he lied, because it may have looked like he didn't want to say that he'd stolen stuff, because it would have looked like he maybe did do it.
And he was known to wear hair pieces to cover his thinning hair, so it could have looked bushy. There was also the fact that he told police that he'd cut his hand when they asked him about the blood. But yeah, that could have been his excuse, though. He could have been the killer, and then they've said about the blood, and he's like, oh, my blood is going to be there, so I'll just make something up.
Maybe.
So the blood that was found trailing down the stairs was thought, so there was actually blood trailing down the stairs, that was thought to be Marilyn's blood that was dripping from the murder weapon as the murderer carried it downstairs.
Right, okay.
But later testing showed that it was neither Marilyn's or Sam's blood.
Right, okay.
So there's definitely at least one other person present at the murder scene, if it wasn't the guy's blood from the windows, like if he was telling you. So while he was talking to the police about Marilyn's murder, he did say that he knew of an obscure basement entryway into the shepherd's house. So that's why I'm wondering that they did notice it, didn't they? Because they took cast of it, because it was an obscure way, the basement door. A few years later, after spending time in prison, Richard became friends with a lady called Ethel May Durkin. She was a rich, childless widow, and she had hired Richard to do some decorating for her. He was actually later convicted of killing her.
Oh. Oh, right, okay.
So on the 15th of November 1983, he had called an ambulance and said that she had gotten up from her chair and she had fallen. And he said that he thought that she'd had a heart attack, but the paramedics were like, nah, she's been attacked. Mm-hmm. So x-rays revealed that Ethel's neck bone had been broken in the same spot that Marilyn Shepherd's had been broken.
Oh, right.
Could be a coincidence.
Could be.
Ethel later died on the 3rd of January 1984. So months before killing her, Richard had changed her will. He was blackmailing people for insurance fraud, so he got them to forge the will so that nearly all of her money was left to him. Mm-hmm. Both of Ethel's sisters also died way before Ethel did. Mm-hmm. One of them was murdered and the other one died under suspicious circumstances. I don't know if he killed them, and there's obviously a lot more to it, but this case is about Marilyn's murder, so I didn't delve into that. Uh-huh. But if anyone wants to look into their deaths, their names were Sarah Bell Farrell and Myrtle Frey. So Richard had hired a nurse for Ethel at some point, and he actually told her, this nurse, that slitting a throat and watching someone die was exhilarating.
Oh, okay.
He told her that he had killed Marilyn Shepherd, and he hit her husband Sam in the head with a steel pail.
Right.
He said that Marilyn had bitten the hell out of him, and there was actually evidence that Marilyn had bitten her attacker. Mm-hmm. In July 1988, Richard Ebelin was charged with forgery, perjury, aggravated grand theft, tampering with evidence and tampering with records. Then he was charged with Ethel's murder.
Right.
So in July 1998, Richard died at an Ohio prison. But before he died, he confessed the following to a prison informant. He said that he was fascinated with Marilyn and he had seen her at some point getting changed. Must be because he was cleaning the windows. Mm-hmm. And he had seen her with just her knickers on. Mm-hmm. So on the night of the murder, he went over to the shepherds, thinking that Marilyn might like to have sex with him. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, he didn't think that Sam was home. He actually thought that Sam was working at the hospital.
Right.
He got in through the basement, waited there for a few hours. Then he snuck upstairs and he didn't notice that Sam was on the daybed, because that was in the living room.
Yeah.
He went into the bedroom, tried to have sex with Marilyn, but obviously she resisted. Mm-hmm. He started to lose it and he lost control and he killed her. But whether that's true or whether he was making that up.
But it does sound plausible. It does sound plausible. It does
well, see, you're changing your mind about him because you were sounding earlier like he was innocent.
Oh, but actually, no, I think maybe he did do that then.
So, as for Sam, he returned to work as a doctor, but because he hadn't been working for so many years, he was out of touch with like more modern practices. Yeah. Uh-huh. He developed a drinking pot problem and he botched two operations which killed both patients. Uh-huh. So his wife Ariane filed for divorce in 1968 because, surprise, surprise, Sam was unfaithful. his relationship with his son Chip was strained, and in August 1969, Sam made his debut as a professional wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And the name that he used, I can't believe the name that he used, Killer Shepherd.
Oh, yeah, why would you use that?
Exactly. Why would... That's... So, on the 6th of April, 1970, When Sam was 46, he collapsed in the kitchen and he was puking up blood. Paramedics called to the scene, tried to save him, but he died. So he died of liver disease.
All right. While they're drinking.
Yeah. So in 1997, Chip filed a civil suit on behalf of his dad for wrongful imprisonment, and both the bodies of Marilyn and Sam were exhumed for DNA and forensic analysis. In the year 2000, there was an 8-week trial and a civil jury reconsidered the evidence of Sam's guilt. His legal team argued that Richard Eberlin was the actual killer. So in this trial, the county presented evidence of a new potential murder weapon, and that was a lamp that was sat on the nightstand between Marilyn and Sam had single beds.
Yeah.
It was a lamp on the nightstand. Yeah. The lamp wasn't there when the officers investigated the scene, but a neighbour testified that they had repaired the lamp and placed it on the nightstand. So where was it when the police were called? Mm-hmm. So Sam's lawyer said that the dented flashlights found in the lake was more likely the murder weapon, and the blood splatter evidence undercut key evidence against Sam. The jury mostly sided with the county. 6 out of 8 jurors said in interviews that they thought that Sam murdered Marilyn. Oh. But it's unlikely it'll ever be solved now.
Wow. What the hell?
So, who do you think did it?
I don't think it was Sam.
No.
No. I think it might have been the window cleaner.
I think that's a good... Because the one with the mayor and his wife, that's all sort of just guesswork. That's rather than actual evidence.
Especially if, like, you know, I said they would have had to be there, then they would have went home, Sam would have phoned them, they would have come back. I mean, that just seems a bit...
The only thing that I kind of think is a bit suspicious is her lighting a fire.
Yeah.
But I mean, there could have been... could have been a legit reason for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So with regards to evidence, I would say Richard... Mm. And because he obviously is a murderer, because he murdered Ethel.
Oh, yeah. He's got form.
And he could well have murdered her sisters as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I think so.
My opinion
is the window cleaner. I know we'll never know.
I know.
Conclusively, but that's what I think, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, if it wasn't Sam, then what a shame. Like, you know, his wife and his baby died. Mm-hmm. He obviously had a strained relationship with his son. He spent 10 years in prison.
And his career went
tits up. His career went tits up, and then he ended up with a drinking problem, and then died at 46.
I know. All because of something that he didn't actually potentially...
If he didn't do it, yeah.
I know, that's awful.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, we are crime_divers_pod on Twitter and Instagram. Our email is crime_divers_pod@outlook.com. Our TikTok and YouTube are Crime Divers Podcast. If you'd like to buy us a coffee. Oh, I actually meant to say, Danielle bought us a coffee each the other day there. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, we did.
Yeah, I meant to say that at the start of the episode, actually. Sorry, Danielle. But yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for that. And if you'd like to, anybody would like to join us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/crimedivers.
And as always, if you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.